We've assembled the roundtable, and we have Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network, Tom Withers from the Associated Press. What a interesting week this was, to say the least. I don't even know where to begin with it, but if we look back on this week, either months from now or years from now, it's going to go down as one of the more unforgettable, I think, in Browns history.
I think timing-wise, a lot of things have been very interesting. I mean, the sale right at the beginning of the season, and then after your first win, it's confirmed, and then you have the entourage coming out. It really kind of messes with the focus sometimes.
That's the thing. This is a big one. I mean, you know, we've seen a lot here, Vic, in 13 years, going on 14 seasons now, and you know, a week in which the Secret Service drops by is always a memorable one. A week where you have, you know, another change at the top. You know, we're obviously going to undergo some more changes here. But, yeah, there's been a palpable buzz in the building since Monday. There's no doubt about that.
There really has. And, you know, the part of this story that probably hasn't been talked about enough or to any great extent, because of the nature of things, we always focus on the new. But Mike Holmgren's decision to, you know, retire at the end of the season, and basically, he's around to help in the transition with Joe Banner and Jimmy Haslam. But when you look at it, this team, the essence of what this team is about in terms of its personnel and everything, coaches, was put together by the regime that Mike Holmgren brought in. And if we do see the improvement that everyone still, I think, expects to have happen at some point, because there's a lot of young talent here, Doug, Mike Holmgren does get some credit for that.
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, if you put the pieces in place that select the players, and this team has a tremendous upside at this point. I think we'll see a different approach, maybe it'll be a little bit more aggressive in free agency than we've been in the past couple years, but you know, there is a good nucleus here. And I mean, you know, next year, you know, Joe Thomas very well at 7 years could be the oldest guy on the offense.
You know, it's maybe not the marble foundation that Mike wanted to put in place here, right, but I think it's pretty solid. And I agree with Doug 100%. I think this team could be on the cusp of some big things. And while the record during the Holmgren tenure, you know, is not very good, 10-28, you know, there are some real positives. And I think this year, with this very young team beginning to make strides, we're starting to see this foundation really fall into place.
Tom, we talk a lot about Jimmy Haslam's energy, and now with Joe Banner, the experience of being at the top of a top-level organization in Philadelphia, spent 19 years there. What's your palpable sense of their impact right away?
Well, I think their impact right away, I think you could sense from the players that there was a refreshed kind of breath of fresh air, if you will, in the building this week. I think players were energized by the fact that Mr. Haslam has been so forward in saying that this is going to be a top flight organization. And I think when you bring in somebody, you know, with the reputation of a Joe Banner, who in 19 years in Philadelphia did some pretty tremendous things. I mean, that was a franchise much like the Browns, where it was, you know, had seen much better times. And in the 19 years they were there, they became one of the NFL's powers. And you could really argue for a 10-year period, you know, maybe the best organization in the league. So I think the trickle-down effect from the newness of Haslam and Banner's arrival has been felt throughout that locker room.
And, Doug, you touched on the timing, and for sure, and we've heard this from Jimmy Haslam, far from ideal to have all this happen at the start of the season, the start of training, first day of training camp. Do you, though, look at it from the standpoint, this is what I'm seeing, there's a lot of season left, and there's a lot of opportunity with so many games left to play, beginning with Sundays at Indianapolis, when I say beginning with this regime in place, that can give Jimmy Haslam, give Joe Banner an opportunity to truly assess what they have and get a better feel for it than, say, coming in as a transition that's postseason and kind of trying to do that after the fact.
Yeah, I think, you know, as you observe how the young players develop, and, you know, whether the consistency gets greater in regards to their production. I mean, we all know there's potential, but now you got to, you know, translate it into production. And I think that's going to be the big part of, you know, of it's a 10-week final exam.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you're looking at. And, you know, we've seen strides. You see some highs, you see some lows. But I think the fact that they got one under their belt, now there's a good taste in your mouth. Now you can go out this week and expect to win.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, we hope we win our first game. No, we expect to win this week.
And there's really nothing wrong. You said the players were energized, and right, you can see the bounce in the step and all that. But I don't think there's necessarily anything bad about having that fear. I think that's the right word, of the unknown. For everybody in the entire building to just, you're on your screws, so to speak, right? You're on your game maybe a little more than you might be otherwise, just because you know there's judging going on.
I'm going to steal Deacon's line. This is a 10-week exam. This is going to be a real test for these young kids. Like, what are you learning and how quickly are you learning? So I think it would be such the Cleveland way now that this team's probably going to go 7-3 over the last 10, and whatever plans Haslam and Banner had are going to be thrown right out the window come January.
But that would be a good problem to have, I think. Doug Deacon and Tom Withers, and yours truly here, Vic Carucci, on the roundtable as we take a look. We are going to actually talk about a game coming up Sunday. The Browns play the Colts at Indianapolis. But let's start with this, some real sobering news that we got today with word that Jason Pinkston has a blood clot. Pat Shurmur announced this and won't be on the field, of course, for Sunday. But it certainly has a serious sound to it. You want the best for him. But what do you think it means now for this team as this young guard was showing improvement, Doug?
Well, I mean, anytime you lose a starter and a guy that started, every game last year, every game this year, and I think, just last week was a good indication. Cincinnati had two good defensive tackles in Atkins and Pecco, and they weren't a factor in the game. And I thought, Laval and Pinkston, held up well. And unfortunately, Pinkston had to leave the game, but it's one of those where it goes back to the depth of your football team.
Right.
And, we saw Hardesty step in last week. Mm-hmm. And, he made a giant step. I think Buster Skrien has had to step in. And, he was thrown kind of to the wolves in some ways. But with that said, he's improved his play. So, mm-hmm. The best way to get better is by playing. And I think, fortunately, they've got some depth there. But, it's tough because he's a good young player, and you don't know the ramifications down the road.
And John Greco stepped in for him last week and did a great job, and will obviously start again this week. So, I'm with Doug. This is a real test of the depth. But I thought with that win last week, you got unexpected production from guys that were in reserve roles. And you hear every week guys saying, I've got to prepare as if I'm the starter. Well, that's never more true than now.
And the human element of it can't be underestimated, because players are concerned for their teammate. You could see it and hear it in the voices. Joe Thomas was talking about it, right, Tom?
I mean,
that the locker room, there was I don't know if the word was shock, but there was concern over it.
Oh, I know several of his teammates, Sean Laval and John Greco, went and visited Jason last night. And, there is deep concern for him. This is a tough situation for anybody to deal with.
And I remember when Jerry Shirk was here, he got a staph infection that ended his career.
Him.
And, going to see Jerry in the hospital, and it's it makes you realize that it's not always just a hit on the football field that can get you.
When we look at this game, and again, it does include this line in a big way, this offensive line trying to create holes. The New York Jets, 252 rushing yards against the Colts. That has to be, and other success that opponents have had of the Colts running the ball, that has to be a source of confidence for a Cleveland team that, even if it didn't overwhelm the Bengals, it did get 100-plus rushing yards with mostly backup work.
Yeah, I think if you were going to pick out one team that you would like to see the Browns face after a win, Indianapolis would be pretty high on the list. You're right. They've shown a real propensity to give up some big yardage on the ground, so the Browns are looking at that. What we don't know is what kind of role Trent Richardson's going to have this week. He's playing with the rib cartilage injury. He's going to wear more or less a flak jacket on that. But I think it was very good for this offense last week to see that Montario Hardesty can step in and be a real nice change of pace.
Can you see that rolling again, Doug?
Yeah, I think they're playing a team that physically I think we can dominate and dominate the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a team in transition. You can say they're retooling, they're rebuilding.
They
cleaned house with everybody over there from the GM on down. And I think, this is a great opportunity. I think DeQuell said it best last week in the conference call. They said, do you think the team's going to respond to the win? He says, we'll see how we do this week. And that's the reality of the situation.
And the more you look at this Colts team, of course the focus is on Andrew Luck and how well he has played, mostly as a rookie quarterback who seems to have the NFL thing down, and maybe it's because he came from Stanford, whatever the reasons are, the program, not just the school, he's a smart guy, but the other part of it is he's had the benefit of time. He's been able to scan and find people open, but didn't have as much of that. For the most part, that was the Green Bay story,
yeah,
where he had the great week. The Jets story last week for him wasn't that way, and a lot of it was because they couldn't run the football.
Well, that's exactly right, and he's also had the benefit of throwing to Reggie Wayne, which is not a bad place to begin as well. So, yeah, I think this Browns defense is a little energized as well with Joe Hayden being back. I mean, we've talked about that for the last week. You know, he's a big difference maker. I'm not sure yet what Ruben is going to be able to do or not do on Sunday, but you're right. It's all about luck and whether the Browns can contain him again.
How about Brandon Weeden, Doug? Just the strides, having the first victory under his belt, the strides that he continues to make. Yes, he had another interception, and that total is I'm sure larger than the Browns or Weeden would want, but it just seems like with each game, and particularly last week's game, I see a guy who's becoming more and more acclimated to what it means to be a starting NFL quarterback.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, the part of that is we were talking about Reggie Wayne. You know, luck walked into a situation where he's got a guy that's been around the block and runs great routes. You know where he's going to be. I mean, they've targeted the guy 70 times in 5 games. That's a lot of times. But, you know, with that, I think, you know, Brandon has more tools around him right now in a lot of ways. And, you know, now it comes to the point which one can elevate the surrounding cast to the point that it makes a difference. And I think, you know, we've seen Josh Gordon's emergence. Now we're going to, you know, hopefully see Massaquah back. And he was kind of in a pretty good risk. Jordan Cameron has peeked into the stats, you know, now and then.
Right.
So, and you're going to get Travis Benjamin maybe back. So you're going to have a nice complement of, you know, wide receivers for a team that a week ago was, you know, bringing up guys off the practice squad. Yeah.
And that could be possible. And Josh Cooper had a definite impact by coming off the practice squad and maybe helping to get his former college teammate, Brandon Weeden, in rhythm.
No doubt, and I think we'll see Cooper again in the slot this week. And I think it just changes, you know, especially with Gordon and his ability to get deep is just going to open things up, you know, underneath for Weeden. And that, you know, that's his strong point. That's the ball that he really likes to throw. He likes to throw that accurate ball 15 to 20 yards downfield and let the big home run go when he needs to.
Yeah, and the D-line with the Taba Ruben back, we know how well those young players have played, John Hughes, Billy Winn, to get pressure to and we talked about Joe Hayden in the back end, but I think the defensive plan, and listening to Dick Geron talk about it this week, is one where, you know, you want to elevate it, see it get to the point where they can put together games where nobody blows them up for big plays.
Well, the other thing is, I think you know that Indianapolis is probably going to throw the ball about 45 times.
Easily.
So you're going to get some fresh, you know, bodies, you know, better rotation in there. And I know Jimmy's not here today because he's working on his run, Billy Winn, run call. So, you know, that's part of it. I mean, but Billy Winn showed up. John Hughes showed up. I mean, each week you see one of these kids show up and you say, hey, that was a pretty good draft pick.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, guys, great stuff. We appreciate it. Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network, Tom Withers from the Associated Press, and we will revisit with this again on Monday. It's Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more is coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.